I'll say good evening to each one of you, and it's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord again tonight. We had a wonderful, I don't know how to describe it, it's a wonderful message this morning. And we sang that psalm, which he noted too this morning on page 56. Do any of you... Were you pondering over that during the day? Do you ever feel that you have prone to wonder? I think we all do at times. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And the good part about that is that God is always willing to forgive if we confess our failures. I was asked to read from Exodus 3, the first 11 verses. It's like we'll be reading about Moses. Exodus 3, 1 to 11. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth thy people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And so readeth the scripture for this evening, and all those who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
Good evening. And all you just listening in over the call-in, you didn't hear wrong. You did hear Dustin Nell. And Donald mentioned in his prayer, he's not sure how I'm feeling. And I remember George Churchfield saying one time, it's good the pulpit's here in front of me because the knees are knocking together. I want to talk a little bit about Moses tonight and God's calling in his life. And first of all, I'd like to say on the onset of the message here tonight that I didn't take this responsibility because I thought I was worthy or I thought I had something to say. I was actually, when Brother Jeff asked me to take it, I had every intention of saying no. But he quickly said, think about it a day or two. And I said, well, I thought to myself, I can answer you right now. But I thought about it the next day, and I could come up with, I felt 100 reasons why I shouldn't do this. But none of them sounded very good. So I decided to try it here with the Lord's help in your prayers. I thank you for each one that has been texting me and telling me verbally that they're praying for me. I really appreciate that. You know, different things, different reasons I could come up with. You know, I'm too busy with other things, or I'm not experienced enough. But I had to think, you know, if we never did anything, we weren't experienced that, we wouldn't do anything. And everybody's busy, I knew that. You know, Jeff, that's why he asked me. He had other responsibilities. And another reason why I was thinking about this the next day, you know, I enjoy hunting very much, and many of you know that. I could probably stand up here for half an hour, 45 minutes, telling you all hunting stories, and it wouldn't bother me a bit. So why couldn't I stand up here and talk to you from God's Word? Another reason that pushed me in this direction, Jeff talked to me before the service one Sunday evening, and after the service I was talking to a young brother, and I have to do hymn sing here coming up. And got around to asking this young brother if he would help with hymn sing. And he didn't even have to think about it. He said, yeah, I'll help you out. He never led before. And I thought, well, if he never led before and he can do that, why shouldn't I be able to do this? Turns out he has other responsibilities and he can't lead, and I'd sooner lead than preach anyhow, I think. But anyhow, you get the idea. All these things pushed me in this direction. And I felt that I really couldn't say no. But once I figured out that I was going to tell Jeff that, you know, I'll take this responsibility, I had to figure out what I was going to talk about. And Jeff gave me a couple pointers there. Maybe I could use a Sunday school lesson that had meant much to me or something. And as I was thinking about what to talk about, I had to think of those in the Bible there that had received God's call to do certain things and didn't want to do them. I thought of Jonah. He ran the other way. I thought maybe I could run, but, you know, it wouldn't get me too far. I'd have to come back and face Jeff sooner or later. Then I thought of Moses there, and I thought it'd be good to talk about him a little bit tonight. So that's the reason I chose him in this portion of Scripture. And I guess if you'd want a title for it, I'd say the title is, Who Am I? I thank Brother Donald for his reading there and the prayer he did on our behalf here tonight. The scripture that was read is a familiar account. We all know the story of Moses in the burning bush. We've heard it from Sunday school little on up. We know the account. And we know that the story doesn't start at this point. And we all know that Moses was spared as a little baby. Pharaoh had ordered that the children, I think just the boys, were to be thrown into the Nile River, or the river there, because the Israelites were beginning to get too mighty. They were afraid they were going to take over. And we know that Moses' mother hid him there in the bulrushes, and it turned out that Pharaoh's daughter found him, and he ended up in Pharaoh's house. We knew that story. And as Moses grows here, and he's out one day walking around, he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And Moses takes care of the problem, or so he thought. He kills the Egyptian, he buries him in the sand. Problem solved. The next day he's out again. Whether it was the next day or whatever, it says the next time he was out, he sees two Hebrews fighting together. And he tries to intervene again. And in chapter 2, verse 14, we read how that turned out. And he said, that this is the Hebrew talking back to Moses, and he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Moses' little secret was found out. He knew that people knew that he had killed this Egyptian, and he runs away. Runs away from everything he knows here. Runs away from his friends and his family. Everything he knows. And he ends up out in the country, so to speak. He runs away from the city there and ends up out in the country. And as we read on there, we read that he marries and has a son. And in the meantime, we know that the king of Egypt dies, Pharaoh dies there. And God hears Israel's cry because of their bondage. So we read that God remembers his covenant that he made with Abraham. In verse 25 in chapter 2 there, it says, "And God looked upon the children of Israel and had respect unto them." God looked down and he's getting ready to move. That brings us to where we read from tonight. Moses is out in the keeping the flocks, taking care of the sheep. And he takes them, he moves them to the backside of the desert. It's, I guess, the time of year where they were running out of pasture. He's moving them around here. He moves them to the backside of the desert, it says even under the mountain there of Horem, the mountain of God. And on the backside of the mountain, Moses has a life-changing experience. Whether he's moving a flock here to, or scouting for grass or water, we don't know. But somehow Moses comes across this burning bush. Now, I know we all have seen fires and we know what fire is, whether it's a campfire or a wood stove or whatever, a bonfire. Moses had seen fire before too. He knew what fire was. It wasn't like this was some new phenomenon to him. Whether he made fires to cook his food or to when he laid down at night there, he knew what fire was. But there was something different about this fire. It says that the bush was on fire but was not consumed. And maybe Moses saw this bush for a while. Maybe he saw it far off. He was moving along and seeing this bush, and he figured when he gets closer, he'll see just a pile of ashes. But as he gets closer, he continues to see this fire burning. And he starts getting curious about this. Why is this bush not getting burned up? And his curiosity keeps growing until verse 3 there. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And as Moses approaches the bush, he gets another surprise. Not only is the bush not burning up, now a voice is coming from the bush. God calls Moses out of the burning bush by name. No, God never forgot about Moses when he ran away. He didn't run away from God. God knew where he was. And now Moses was right where God knew he was going to be. You know, in our own lives, I thought, God never forgets where we are. Nothing ever takes him by surprise. He knows where each one of us is here tonight. And I'm not talking about in the church building, even though he knows that as well. I'm talking about in our own personal lives. He knows exactly where we are. He knows if we're on the backside of the mountain, maybe hiding from something, trying to keep it out of sight. God knows where we're at. As we move on there, verses 5 and 6, we see God has Moses take off his shoes because the place where he's standing is holy ground. And in verse 6, God introduces himself. And as God introduces himself here, we see Moses' response in the end of verse 6 there. God says, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And we see Moses' response here. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And I had to think again in our own lives, you know, how do we treat God and his word? Do we have the respect and the reverence that it deserves? Even for the church building here, a reverence that Moses was afraid to look upon God. Verses 7 through 9 there, we see God begins to tell Moses his plan, how he has seen the affliction of Israel, and how he, God himself, was going to deliver them out of Egypt. And I can kind of see Moses here agreeing with everything God says. God says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. And I can hear Moses saying, God, I agree with you completely. Actually, I tried to do something about it here a few years ago. And God says, I'm going to come down and deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And I can hear Moses saying, hallelujah, I've been waiting for this day. And God says, I'm going to bring them out of the land unto a good land, a large and flowing with milk and honey. And I hear Moses say, God, you are so good. You remember your covenant. You're going to deliver your people. And then we come to verse 10. Come now, God still speaking here to Moses. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And I can almost see Moses' mouth drop open. You know, up till now, everything God was saying, seeing the affliction of his people, you know, coming down to deliver them, taking them to the land of milk and honey, this all sounded wonderful to Moses. But now that God wanted him to get involved, now he's not so sure it sounds so great. How is it with us today? You know, we all pray for revival. We want to see revival. We want to see sinners saved. We want to see new church planted, new churches planted. But what's our attitude when God says, you? You are the one I want to use. You are the one I want to go visit someone or share God's plan of salvation. How about take a meal to someone? We just received a lot of meals over the last couple of weeks there with Charlotte, and we appreciate that very much. Teach a Sunday school lesson. Maybe even preach a sermon. What about moving to a different area? All these things, you know, when God says you, how do we respond? It's so easy to step back and say, or hope that maybe someone else will fill that responsibility. Take care of that calling. As we look at Moses' response to God's call here, and it's kind of where I got the title. Verse 11, he says, Moses said unto God, who am I? God, I'm a nobody. I'm no leader. Why would you ever want me to go to Pharaoh? He gives a couple different excuses there later on. I'm slow to speech. They won't believe me. God, you have the wrong man. You know, it's so easy for us, at least it is for me, like Moses, to start coming up with reasons why God has the wrong man. Do we ever argue with God? And we might even come up with some of the same reasons or excuses here that Moses did here in Exodus. But as we think of Moses' life overall, what comes to our mind? When I think of Moses and his life overall, I think of a man who God used in a great way to deliver his people out of Egypt and then lead them through the wilderness to the promised land. Even though Moses never made it to the promised land, he was instrumental in leading them through the wilderness. The point is here that Moses got past his reasons why God had the wrong man, and God used him in a special way. So, what's the best person for God to use? One that's willing to be used. Another thing along those lines, God will never call us into something and leave us stranded halfway through. God didn't call Moses to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness and then halfway through the wilderness said, well, Moses, I'm sorry, but you're on your own from here on out. Even though God did want to wipe the children of Israel out, he never left Moses hanging high and dry. God is always with us when we follow his leading. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy or not frustrating. Just look at Moses, what he had to deal with. I'm sure he was so frustrated sometimes when the children of Israel wandered away, when he was up on the mountain and they were down there and they made those golden calves and things, and he broke the commandments. It ain't no wonder. But he continued on looking to God, even though it wasn't easy and it was frustrating. God was with him. And so as we go through our lives, number one, be ready for God's call. Be willing to be used. Continue to follow God's leading, and God will be with us as we live our life for Him. And I know the other side of the coin is we can get too busy, and I didn't really touch on that too much here tonight. A lot of us have a lot to do, and I think we can get too busy, but I'm more talking about just following God's call, because I think God will let us know. Thank you for your time and attention. I kind of got through it there quickly, but I'm sure you understand.
It's a challenge to each one of us, isn't it? To walk humbly and obediently before our God. It was a challenge for Moses, and he had to be prepared for service. It was a challenge for the Apostle Paul. I'd like to leave you with familiar words from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is Paul speaking. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You see, it's the same for Moses. It's the same for the Apostle Paul. And it's the same for each one of us. When we forge ahead on our own strength, we have trouble. But when we approach God in meekness and humility and obedience and willingness to serve Him, we are promised His strength. The prophet Micah says, "O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God?" Shall we kneel humbly before our God?